Right now on VFN TV, President Trump, he's announcing jobs, jobs, jobs. Businesses are coming back home again to America. And so, so exciting in today's program. We're also going to be talking about how President Trump is going on a five-country Asian tour. This is a beautiful thing that's taking place. Going to be talking about business as well as military strategic defense. And he's also going to be visiting in Japan some of the families who had family members that were abducted by the North Korean government. All happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
Well, Donald Trump has expressed to the committee, the faith-based committee that he has expanded on, that by the time he leaves office, he wants to be remembered as the most praying president in history.
We invite all Americans to join us as we continue to pray for those who have lost family members and friends, and for those who are suffering from this great crisis. We're going to be signing a day of prayer.
Mr. President, I think it goes without saying that in a moment like this, we all come together as Americans. We all bow to Almighty God. We ask for His grace and His mercy over those who are affected. And most of all, Mr. President, we thank you for acknowledging that ultimately it is God who is the source of our unity as Americans. And I thank you for issuing this proclamation.
Thank you.
It's been called the most evangelical cabinet in history. Men and women who don't mince words when it comes to where they stand on God and the Bible.
Has this been done before in a cabinet formally?
I don't think there's been a cabinet Bible study in America in at least 100 years.
The seat of evil is going to come down and the seat of the righteous is going to rise. I mean, God wants to bring down the evildoer, but we have to begin to cry out and turn our hearts to Him.
You know, the last day's language of the Holy Spirit is dreams. He said, well, it was just a dream. Just a dream. Who knows what angels had to fight through to break into your world, to give you their thoughts, and you just say it's just a dream. I think the church needs to stop saying it's just a dream.
If the righteous many do not confront the wicked few, then evil will triumph.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kalaszewski. We're so excited about today's program and everything we're about to share with you today. But we want to talk about what's happening in our country. You know, President Trump is doing a phenomenal job, and we want to do our part in helping you to be connected to some of the things that are happening. You know, reports are that the stock market again has reached all-time new high. But what you may not be aware of is that this has happened 61 times in the last 9 months. Jobs are continuing to grow. Unemployment is at its lowest level in 17 years. And you're going to be hearing right from the White House how broadband company, top 100 company, is coming back to America. What does that mean? That means $20 billion is coming back to the United States. In fact, the CEO said, America once again is the best place to lead a company with a global footprint. Listen, we want you to be excited because things are happening in this nation. There's a shift that's occurring. We've been talking about how the Lord prophetically spoke about 2017, that this would be the year of breakthrough. You got to continue to stay tuned to a lot of these programs this week because we're going to be sharing some of the things that are taking place that you're going to be so encouraged. But right now, let's go to the White House as we hear what President Trump has to say regarding the economy and all the jobs that are coming back to this great country. Watch this.
This is a big day. We have Federal Reserve coming up in a little while, as you know. We just had a big meeting on DACA with some of the senators, and we have great things to say about that. You'll be hearing about that very soon. And the big thing, of course, is tax cuts and jobs. and that's happening very rapidly, and it's been met with really a great response. But I want to thank everybody for this great day, and it's a great day for the American worker in particular. Over the past 10 months, we've witnessed something remarkable happening to our country. Have you all noticed? A lot of change. A lot of difference. Right, Kevin? Would you say? We're just hitting another record right now in the stock market. We've hit, I guess, close to 60 records on the stock market since November the 8th, a very big day. The stock market is at an all-time high. Unemployment is at its lowest level in almost 17 years. We now have had two straight quarters of 3% or more economic growth. For those of you that don't understand that, this is a tremendous increase over where it was, and we're going higher. Jobs have been offshored to so many countries that we're now coming back, and now those jobs and those companies are coming back to our great American home. I want to thank the Majority Leader, Kevin McCarthy, for joining us this afternoon. He has been so terrific in so many ways, and I will tell you, he's working very hard on tax cuts. In fact, so hard that I'm surprised to see you here. This must be truly a great company, which it is. You'll be hearing in 2 seconds for you to be here, because you've been pretty busy today.
I just left the press conference.
You did, and that was a good press conference, too. We're thrilled to welcome Broadcom Limited and its CEO, Hock Tan, to the White House to announce that Broadcom Limited is moving its headquarters from Singapore back to the United States. So I want to thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr.
President. It's really something great. I appreciate it. Broadcom Limited is a Fortune 100 company, one of the really great, great companies. They manufacture technology and parts. They employ over 7,500 American workers in many states across our country. We're looking forward to seeing that number grow very substantially, which it's now anticipated to do. Their move back to the United States and to the United States is something very, very special and very important. And you've been seeing this happen with numerous companies and, at a minimum, expansions and sometimes plants. With this commitment, more than $20 billion in annual revenue will come back to our cities, towns, and the American workers. Today, we're joined by some of the incredible men and women from their manufacturing plant in the great state of Pennsylvania. That's a state I like very much, you know. Right? I love Pennsylvania. I went to school in Pennsylvania. You're skilled at your craft. You take pride in your job. And because of you, our nation's trademark, Made in the USA, is respected all over the world once again. And we're telling people, Made in the USA is a big deal now. We're bringing it back. When I was growing up, when I was a young boy, you'd say, Made in the USA, that meant something. Well, it means something again. My administration is working every day to make the United States the most attractive place in the world to do business, so that more and more companies like Broadcom come back to our shores, grow their businesses, and create more and more American jobs. And you see it happening on a daily basis. That's why I've already slashed more unnecessary job-killing regulations than any president in history. That includes their entire term. And I've only been here for about 10 months. And we're not finished yet. Believe me, we're not even close. And that's why we're working to give the American people a giant tax cut for Christmas. We are giving them a big, beautiful Christmas present in the form of a tremendous tax cut. It will be the biggest cut in the history of our country. It'll also be tax reform, and it'll create jobs. Today, the House Ways and Means Committee unveiled a historic tax reform bill that will create tremendous prosperity for our nation. We will provide a massive tax cut for American families. We will make the tax code simpler and fair. It's called simplification. We will restore our competitive edge by reducing business taxes for the first time in more than 30 years. And we will bring back trillions and trillions of dollars that's now parked overseas so that money can be put to work rebuilding the United States of America, as opposed to rebuilding other parts of the world. Again, I want to thank
Broadcom CEO Hock Tan for joining us today. He's a highly, highly respected man, a great, great executive. The job he's done is an incredible job. But what he's doing is committing to massive amounts of American jobs. When Hock told me about this move, he said, Mr. President, we want to be an American company. We're hearing that all of these days, we're hearing it more and more. We're hearing it, frankly, I'm hearing it every single day. People are coming in at levels that you will be seeing over the next short period of time. You're seeing it in so many ways. You're seeing it when you just look at what's happening with the stock market. And you'll look at the enthusiasm indexes, which are the highest they've ever been. The business enthusiasm in this country is at record levels. And we're hearing it from everything from tax reform, which is really spearheading it. And yet I think it's really a feeling for a country that people haven't had in a long time. They see what's going on with regulation. They see the tax move, and that's going to happen. And I really believe we'll have it done before Christmas. I consider that to be one of the great Christmas presents. And not just the reform and not just the tax cuts, but we will be creating jobs like you have rarely seen in this country. So we never get tired of that pledge because we never tire of returning wealth to our country, jobs to our citizens, and honor to our great American workers. I honor our workers. These are incredible people. They've worked hard. You go back 20 years and essentially they haven't had that salary increase that they should have had. But now you see it, wages are starting to rise. So we're very proud of our country. And Hock, I'd like to have you say a few words. And again, on behalf of not only the folks from Pennsylvania behind me, but all of the United States, I want to thank you very much for choosing us. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Hock.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for having us here. It's truly an honor, a rare honor. And before I launch into something else, let me say my mother could never have imagined that one day her son will be here in the Oval Office in the White House, standing beside the President of the United States. Thank you.
And my mother, too.
And, you see, back in 1971, I was just an 18-year-old skinny kid growing up in Malaysia, okay, but who had just received an opportunity to enroll in the best engineering school in America, in fact, in the world, MIT. And my parents could not have afforded to send me to college, much less MIT. So it's rather amazing, it's really amazing to me even today, that this great American educational institution took a chance on me, sight unseen, gave me a scholarship to pursue the American dream. So my appearance here today, in large part, has been inspired by my desire to give back to this country, which I have received so much from. I run Broadcom today, and Broadcom is the embodiment of the legacy of innovation of three great American technology leaders, Bell Labs, Hewlett-Packard, and more recently, Broadcom Corporation. But in eras past, when the conditions in this country made it harder for companies to compete in global markets, the intellectual property of these leading companies globalized and moved offshore. But I am American, as are nearly all my direct managers, my board members, and over 90% of my shareholders. So today, we are announcing that we are making America home again. Thank you. Thank you. Our commitment to redomicile into the United States is a huge reaffirmation to our shareholders, to the 7,500 employees we have across 24 states in America today, that America is once again the best place to lead a business with a global footprint. Okay. Thanks to you, Mr. President, business conditions have steadily improved. The proposed tax reform package will level the global playing field and allow us to compete effectively in worldwide markets. Our move to domicile into the U.S. will bring in $20 billion of annual revenues into this country. Okay, from this base here in the United States, each year we will invest over $3 billion a year in research and engineering, and another $6 billion a year in manufacturing, creating high-paying tech jobs, similar to the ones held today by my co-workers behind me, who have made the trip down from Pennsylvania to be with us here today. So again, thank you, Mr. President. I look forward to working to create, to achieve the American dream for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is so encouraging. Listen, companies are coming back home again. And what that means to the America and the American people, in particular with one company, it's $20 billion coming back, you know, in the beginning. And then as you heard him speak, another $3 and another $6 billion. But it's not just Broadcom, but it's companies like Foxconn from China who make the iPhone. They're going to be setting up in Wisconsin, and they're bringing $1.6 billion, I believe, and opening 4,000 new jobs. And you're going to be hearing more and more and more companies coming back. This is this president who's going to work to get rid of all these regulations. In fact, it's being reported that President Trump has cut more regulations than any president in U.S. history. It means Americans are getting back to work. It means the economy is growing. And it means that we're going to have prosperity again in America. This is so encouraging. Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about how President Trump is in Asia. Five-country Asian tours. Going to be going to Japan, South Korea, Vietnam, the Philippines, and China. And it's going to be about the economy, and it's going to be about military defense. As we all know, things are getting so serious in North Korea, and all of our allies, all of our friends, all of our trading partners in Asia are right there in that location. So when we get back, we're going to take you right to the press conference where the Prime Minister of Japan, Shinzo Abe, and President Trump talk about this historic meeting and what it means for Asia, the economy, and our two countries and our alliance. You don't want to miss this. It's so encouraging. Join us when we get right back from this break.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank you so much for joining us here on VFNTV and the Daily Radio program. Every single day, we are on the air talking to the world and encouraging you by bringing the light, keeping the conversation light. And we also talk to you in many different ways as well. One way is at the VFN Torch. If you go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch, our program that we have for years now with all these pertinent topics of the day plus things that you need to know is right there for you, where you can go back and educate yourself on a particular matter. You can share things with a friend. You can listen to us in addition in SoundCloud as well. You can share things audibly with other listeners out there and other viewers and friends. There's just so much available to you at VFNTV.com. In addition, think about this. We come to you in the air, broadcasting in the air, in your pocket, which is on mobile devices, and online. We're all over the world, and we want to be able to bring encouragement to you. And we do that one way with our app. You can go to your Apple App Store. You can go to Google Play Store or your Windows Store and get your app and download it. The app is called VFNTV. Of course, you go to VFNTV.com. We have our little area there that you can pick which app you want to be able to download. It's just so exciting to know that no matter where you are, we want to be able to encourage you. I don't know if you knew about this, but also you can sign up for our Torch newsletter. We have a gift for you for doing that. You just go to VFNTV.com in the upper right-hand corner and fill out that little information, and immediately a free gift will come to you. One of them is prudent preparation. Hopefully it's going to come to you and teach you how to probably prepare for the day, what's happening in our culture today, and how to think outside the box. And it's just something we want to be able to give to you, plus some other gifts as well. And I also want to make sure that you have a chance to be able to become a VFNTV partner. We have a whole partners area just to say thank you. It's special areas, special events, green room, things we have available just to give our partners, just to be able to say thank you. Imagine any time you can log into the partners area. Why? Because you partnered for any dollar figure at all to be able to say thank you. Things you can share with your friends as well. Also, we have VFN Kingdom Business Partners, a whole nother area to be able to focus on the seven spheres of culture. Just very encouraging. And finally, I want to encourage you, maybe your business, maybe you want to become a business sponsor. Those are the ones that are standing with us, that want to keep the conversation light, that want to impact their community, but also want to be able to share their business, their service, what they provide for their community. You can do that by going to VFNTV.com. Thank you so much, and thanks for watching.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Hey, I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in the studio is Steve Kolesheski. This is amazing. Yes. What's happening and what's taking place.
It's unprecedented. It's very exciting for business. Overwhelming.
Companies are coming home. Yes. Again. This is all. Yes. This corporate money that's been offshore in some other nation. And now the. Yeah. Money is coming back to the American people.
They're recognizing America is the best place for a global business.
That's just
amazing.
That's just too amazing. Well, you know, as we talked about in our monologue, that President Trump is on a five-country Asian tour. And what's so interesting is that, you know, this is the first time the president has visited South Korea in 25 years. And there's never been such an important time in the last 20 years, probably, where the president needs to go visit Asia, and particularly South Korea, with what's happening with North Korea and their. Yeah. Continual threats, not only to America, but also to the countries in the region, right? And so a lot of these countries are concerned. You know, President Trump, several people from his administration have already been to, you know, South Korea. You know, General Mattis has visited, Vice President. Yeah. Mike Pence has been to South Korea, and now the president is coming. And so this is very important. Yeah. Because right now, on his very first trip, he's in Japan visiting Shinzo Abe, the Prime Minister of Japan, and you know, who was one of the very first world leaders to visit
President Trump. Even before he was elected. Yeah. He came and visited.
He came when he was president-elect, which was, I guess, broke some sort of protocol. But nonetheless, President Trump was so excited to receive him. We want to take you straight to the press conference where they're, you know, beginning to share what this trip is all about. Because the president's saying that the era of strategic patience is over for North Korea, that the policy has changed, and they're no longer going to be tolerating any of the things that have occurred with North Korea. They have the capability. Mm-hmm. They have nuclear weapons. They have nuclear weapons. And not only do they have them, they're threatening our allies, and they're threatening the United States. And we're coming close to this thing being really. Yes. Dealt with. And as well as the president's going to be talking about the economy and some of the things that are happening in Japan and how these trade deficits, which we're going to be talking about, how these things are about to change, and Japan's going to be doing more business. Mm-hmm. With America. Watch this.
Ladies and gentlemen, at the outset, may I begin by offering my condolence to the victims who lost their lives, as well as my sympathy to the people injured in the recent shooting incidents in Texas. I'd like to express my heartfelt solidarity to the people of the United States in this time of difficulty. It was only 1 year ago, November last year, that I met the president for the first time in the Trump Tower, New York. Since then, I have had numerous opportunities to converse with the president on the margin of international meetings, as well as countless talks on the phone. Indeed, how many hours of dialogue did we have? I believe that there has never been such close bonds intimately connecting the leaders of both nations as we do now in the history of Japan-U.S. alliance of more than half a century. In particular, he received me with great hospitality last February on my visit to the U.S. at his villa in Florida. It became my unforgettable memory that we were able to discuss a variety of global issues over so many hours, quite frankly, including several rounds of golf. And it is my particular delight that this time I'm able to welcome my dear friend President Trump and Madame Melania Trump to Japan. This first trip of President Trump to Asia is an historic visit in the current regional situation, which is ever more tense. And his first nation to visit on his tour is Japan. This made this historic significance even greater. In this way, two of us were able to show to the rest of the world the unshakable Japan-U.S. alliance. Thank you, Donald. For the last 2 days, I was able to have an in-depth discussion with Donald on a plethora of issues that the international community is faced with. In the discussion, overwhelming importance was occupied by the North Korean issue. We were in complete agreement as to the measures to be taken upon the analysis of the latest situation of North Korea, giving a good amount of time. Japan consistently supports the position of President Trump when he says that all options are on the table. Through the talks over 2 days, I have once again strongly reaffirmed that Japan and U.S. are 100% together. For more than 20-some years, the international community attempted dialogue with North Korea. At the time of Framework Agreement of 1994 and at the Six-Party Agreement of 2006, North Korea committed in abandoning their nuclear program. But each time, the promise was broken, which resulted in North Korea buying time for their nuclear and missile development while we were making efforts for dialogue. There is no point in the dialogue for the sake of dialogue with North Korea. Now is the time not for dialogue, but for applying maximum level of pressure on North Korea. We completely agreed that in order to make North Korea change their policy, Japan and U.S. must take leadership in closely collaborating with the international community so that we can enhance the pressure to the maximum level over North Korea through all possible means. I agree with President Trump that we welcome China strengthening her pressure over North Korea, and it is incumbent upon China to play even greater roles to let North Korea relinquish their nuclear and missile development. We reaffirmed once again the importance of further advancing trilateral cooperation among Japan, U.S., and the Republic of Korea, a country President Trump will visit tomorrow. Before this press conference, President and Mrs. Trump were good enough to meet with the members of the families of abductees. I would like to render my heartfelt gratitude for their listening so intently to what the family members had to tell them. Until the day when all the families of the abductees embrace their loved ones in their own arms, until that day, my mission is not complete. I am sure that the families I have renewed my resolve to work in full force to seek the resolution of this issue. I have decided to take our own additional sanction measures in our effort to seek the solution of the nuclear missile and the most important abduction issues of North Korea. Tomorrow, there will be a decision on 35 North Korean entities and individuals. Going forward, Japan and the U.S. will continue to cooperate closely for the early resolution of the North Korean issue. I also discussed bilateral economic issues with President Trump. We welcomed that in the second meeting of Japan-U.S. Economic Dialogue held last month between Deputy Prime Minister Aso and Vice President Pence, the importance of strengthening bilateral economic, trade, and investment relations was confirmed. And we will go deeper into our dialogue. We agreed that we will continue our discussion in order to invigorate more the bilateral trade and investment and enhance our cooperation in the areas of law enforcement, energy, infrastructure, among others. Japan and the U.S. are the two global economic leaders occupying 30% of the global economy, sharing common values such as freedom and fairness. The significance of Japan-U.S. alliance is not limited on security front alone. In the economic field, it greatly contributes to the prosperity of the region and the world. I, together with President Trump, shall work not only in the field of bilateral trade, but also lead in the high-standard rulemaking in trade and investment broadly in the Asia-Pacific region. I am determined to see to it so that both Japan and U.S. strongly lead the regional and eventually the global economic growth by our cumulative efforts in creating fair and effective economic order in this region. With the President, I discussed APEC and East Asian Summit meetings that we will be going after this. Indo-Pacific region, covering the vast area of Asia-Pacific through the Indian Ocean to the Middle East and Africa, is the growth center of the world with more than half of the world population. The maintenance and enhancement of the maritime order that is free and open is critically important for the peace and prosperity of this region, and we concurred to strengthen our cooperation toward realizing free and open Indo-Pacific. Under the unwavering Japan-U.S. alliance, I shall play a leadership role for the peace and prosperity of this region, hand in hand with President Trump. For the last 2 days, I had indeed very serious discussions with President Trump. I also had an opportunity to play golf with our top pro, Hideki Matsuyama, yesterday. Indeed, the match was a neck-and-neck competition, in my opinion. What was the reality? I hope that Mr. Trump will give his evaluation. The dinner where Mrs. Trump joined was in such a truly relaxed atmosphere that we almost forgot how time flew. I am greatly, very much satisfied. I hope that they enjoy the banquet later on by all means. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. President Trump, floor is yours.
Thank you. This is so powerful. Well, this is so powerful. We're interrupting this press conference because when we get back from this break, you're going to be hearing from President Trump as he addresses what's happening in Japan. Listen, times are changing, and you're seeing leadership in Asia now. And it's just so wonderful to see how America's being welcomed, how the leaders of the world are recognizing that, hey, we better get right with the United States. That's we better make sure these trade deficits are equaled out because they are our greatest ally. Mm-hmm. These guys are our friends. Mm-hmm. But before we go to break, I want to talk to you about the special offer. Listen, we want to send this to you. The special offer today is holy tension in God's family when it's God's doing. Listen, for your gift for any amount, it's yours. More details.
Offer 2042, Holy Tension in God's Family, when it's God's doing. There comes a time when a loving father must deal with a member of his family that is bringing harm to the family or themselves. It is a difficult season for the family, one the father deeply wishes he'd never have to go through, but one that is necessary if he's going to protect his family. These are moments of great tension for a family, but moments that are required to assure its survival. This also happens in God's family as our Father. It is important to recognize these moments and carefully walk through them, as it could cost anyone in the family major consequences for not understanding when our loving Father God is dealing with his family, a family that he loves, and it is not okay for us to throw our own opinions, judgments, or criticism. He especially is not okay with us changing his plans. In this message, you'll see a time when God, as a father, had to deal with his family, which was deeply divided and in great sin. The way God does and sees things will flip how most of us see and do things in this life. You'll discover or rediscover the fear of the Lord and how he is in full charge of all matters. We want to send you this offer for a gift of any amount. Become a partner by going to VFNTV.com and clicking on Partner Now. Or you can write to us at VFNTV, 40 West 9 Mile Road, number 2, PMB 360, Pensacola, Florida 32534. Or call us at 844-408-3688. That's Offer 2042. Holy tension in God's family when it's God's doing.
VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
One of the most difficult jobs parents have is knowing when to set rules and how to enforce them. Sometimes it's best to consult with the experts, your own children.
Dr. James Dobson for Family Talk.
My friend Dr. Paul Meyer told me he sits down with his entire family every 3 months or so, and he asks the children, what do you think the rules ought to be for the next 90 days? He draws a line down the center of a piece of paper, and he lists the do's and don'ts on one side and the consequences for breaking them on the other. The rules cover how the children are treated by each other, what time they're going to go to bed, what the chores are to be done by each child, and more. Now, these standards don't just apply to the children either. There might be a rule about not raising your voice toward another person. That goes for the parents as well as the children. And it's important that the consequences for both are enforced in the same way. Now, please understand that this is not a fully democratic system. The parents still have the final decision, but most of the time, the rules the children bring up are no different from those the parents would promote. And when children have a say in what the standards are, what the resulting disciplinary actions are to be, they tend to take them even more seriously.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
Ladies and gentlemen, how do you find meaning? One essential ingredient is love. May I direct you to build strong friendships? It is meaningful. I miss that. I'm an itinerant man. If you've got a partner in life that God has given to you, love her or love him with as deep and a passionate as love as God can put into your heart. But please hear me. The tragedy of all relationships is that one day they will either end in this world through death or through sin. That's why the ultimate relationship is the relationship that you and I can have with God.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Listen, if you're just joining us, we're getting back to the press conference Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and President Donald Trump are having in Japan. And you just heard that the Prime Minister saying, listen, it is time. It is time for us to deal with North Korea and to apply all the pressure that we have available right now. Listen, it started with in the Clinton administration, where North Korea was able to actually become a nuclear country, if you will. And the last, several presidents kind of maybe just kicked the can in this situation. And the most important thing that Donald Trump was going to face in this administration, according to then President Barack Obama, said you're going to have to deal with North Korea. Yeah. This is it. You're going to have to deal with it. This is the biggest issue you have. And here the president, in the first 9 months of his administration, he's going to Asia and he's saying it's time. Mm-hmm. He's already sent General Mattis there. He's already sent Vice President Mike Pence. And now he himself is showing up to the region, and on this five-country tour will be showing up in South Korea, visiting this Korean peninsula for the first time in 25 years a U.S. president has visited South Korea. So they're talking about strategic military defense and alliance as well as the economy. Listen, President Trump travels with leaders, business leaders, just like he did with Saudi Arabia, and they're prepared to cut deals. So let's just join them right back at this conference, at this press conference, where President Trump addresses those that are attended. So watch this.
Well, thank you very much, Enzo. And this has been a truly enjoyable trip and one where we're accomplishing a lot. And I agree with you that our relationship is extraordinary. And I agree with you also that there has never been such a close relationship between the leaders of two countries, these two countries, Japan and the United States. So it's been great to be with you. And we'll be spending a lot of time with you over the years. Melania and I are deeply grateful for the warm welcome we've received in your remarkable country, and that's what it is. It is a remarkable country. This is a land of incredible history, culture, tradition, and spirit. First, let me congratulate you on your great success in the recent elections. You won very big and very easily, and I'm not at all surprised. We both share in common and really a deep loyalty to our citizens and a deep faith in the destiny of our people, and also our people and our countries working together. I also want to take a moment to continue sending our thoughts, prayers, and deepest condolences to the victims of the horrific assault on a church in a beautiful area. So sad. Sutherland Springs, Texas, such a beautiful, wonderful area with incredible people. Who would ever think a thing like this could happen? So I want to send my condolences, the condolences of our First Lady. In tragic times, Americans always pull together. We are always strongest when we are unified. To the wounded and the families of the victims, all of America is praying for you, supporting you, and grieving alongside of you. Prime Minister, I want to thank you and the people of Japan for your friendship. We have so many great things that we can accomplish together, and we are in the process of accomplishing those things. It was a thrill for my daughter Ivanka to be able to participate in the World Assembly for Women and promote women entrepreneurship side by side. Our two nations are advancing policies to empower women and harness the full potential of our great economies. You were the first foreign leader to visit me shortly after my election. And now it is my pleasure to join you in your homeland to further strengthen the historic ties between our two great nations. As you know, this is my first visit to the Indo-Pacific region as president. Been here before, but as president, this has been my first, and it is my first. And I am thrilled that my first stop was with you, great friend. We're going to other countries where I have also developed some great friendships, and we're going to work to straighten a lot of things out, including trade, including military problems. We have a lot of things to work on, but this is a real honor to be with you, Shinzo. Japan is a very special place. The Japanese people are thriving. Your cities are vibrant, and you've built one of the world's most powerful economies. I don't know if it's as good as ours. I think not. Okay? And we're going to try and keep it that way. but you'll be second. And yet, for all of its modern splendor, the people of Japan maintain a profound respect for their rich culture, heritage, and traditions, honoring the past even as you blaze new trails into the future. Very, very strongly looking into the future is Japan. You demonstrate every day that the respect for history and heritage is the true foundation for progress. Our nations share an enduring bond. America and Japan face many challenges, many opportunities. There are many things we face, but we will be facing them together in friendship and as allies. Most importantly, we're working to counter the dangerous aggressions of the regime in North Korea. The regime continued development of its unlawful weapons programs, including its illegal nuclear tests and outrageous launches of ballistic missiles directly over Japanese territory, are a threat to the civilized world and international peace and stability. We will not stand for that. The era of strategic patience is over. Some people said that my rhetoric is very strong, but look what's happened with very weak rhetoric over the last 25 years. Look where we are right now. Prime Minister Abe has also shared with me the tragic stories of Japanese young people whom North Korea has abducted over the years. Together, we met with the parents of Megumi Yokota, who was abducted as a young girl in 1977. No child should ever be subjected to such cruelty. No parent should ever have to endure 40 years of heartbreak. We also had a young, wonderful man in our country, Otto Warmbier. We all know the story of Otto. It's a horrible story, a sad story, and we can't let that happen. We cannot let that happen. The United States of America stands in solidarity with the people of Japan against the North Korean menace. History has proven over and over that strong and free nations will always prevail over tyrants who oppress their people. Our powerful and enduring U.S.-Japan alliance includes more than 50,000 members of the United States military stationed right here in Japan. In addition to that, we have 33,000 stationed in South Korea. American and Japanese military personnel train together, work together, and will stand together to defend the security and sovereignty of both of our countries. I want to thank the entire Japanese people for acting as such gracious hosts and strong partners for our men and women in the armed forces. America is also committed to improving our economic relationship with Japan. As President of the United States, I'm committed to achieving a fair, free, and reciprocal trading relationship. We seek equal and reliable access for American exports to Japan's markets in order to eliminate our chronic trade imbalances and deficits with Japan. We're working on that. Something we've all been working on very hard from the very beginning of our meetings. As we continue to pursue closer economic ties, I believe it will create new and exciting opportunities to achieve greater prosperity in both of our nations and to advance new frontiers in science, medicine, and technology. The United States respects and honors Japan's heritage and admires your deep well of perseverance. I appreciate very much your acknowledging and stating the fact that the United States economy has done so well since our election on November 8th. Close to 2 million jobs, the highest stock market in our history. So many different things are happening. for the better, including the cutting of massive amounts of regulation, which is one of the reasons that the market's reacting the way it's reacting. This mutual respect for culture and sovereignty will continue to bring our nations closer and closer together and open up new avenues of cooperation and success. Mr. Prime Minister, thank you again for inviting me today and for opening the arms of your majestic country to our American delegation, all of whom are right now in this room. I look forward to working side by side with you in friendship. We will have success like rarely seen between two countries, Japan and the United States of America, two very, very special places. Thank you for having us. Thank you very much.
President Trump and Prime Minister Shinzo Abe at a press conference in Japan. Japan's the very first country that the president stops in his five-country Asian tour. And this is so significant, mm-hmm. Steve. It seems like there is a this is the first time as U.S. Yeah. president that he actually arrives, you know, into this specific region. And it's like, you better straighten up because, mm-hmm. you know, the United States is there. And, you know, we have 100,000 servicemen, nearly 100,000 that are in this region. Mm-hmm. So it's important, you know. Now you have North Korea doing what they are threatening to do. It's important that we bring some stability, yeah. some sanity in the area, and you keep hearing trade deficits. When we get back from this break, we're going to just kind of break this down a little bit because in our further program, stay tuned with us, we're going to be sharing so much more about this. That things are coming back yes. into balance. Things are coming back into balance. Join us when we get right back from this break.
VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The Victorian era, from 1819 through 1901, a time of flourishing for the British Empire, the spread of political movements, explorations, and certainly an increase in literature, in journalism, and a deep interest in the Bible. What one acknowledged scholar describes as a people of one book.
Even with many texts available to them, the Bible had a dominant presence in discussion and debate, even phrases from the Bible becoming parts of common speech.
People like Quaker prison reformer Elizabeth Fry, nurse Florence Nightingale, Baptist preacher Charles Spurgeon, Jewish authors, even the agnostic scientist T.H. Huxley were, as one scholar described, preoccupied with the Bible. Today, it's an era associated with the Protestant work ethic, family values, and institutional faith.
Let's start a new conversation about the Bible.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We have people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Steve Kalishevsky. Listen, this has been, you know, historic what we're watching mm-hmm. with President Trump, Shinzo Abe, press conference, as well as what we talked about in the beginning of the first hour. Listen, the economy is shifting. You know, we're having, you know, our president in the mm-hmm. Pacific region for the first time, and he's addressing issues that have not been addressed even 25
yes.
years.
Yes.
We have servicemen and women, over close to 100,000 of
in
them.
In the region.
In the region.
Yeah.
And these guys are you know, at the mercy right mm-hmm. now of what a dictator in North Korea has threatened to do and can right. do at any time.
And President Trump has even said that, is that because of the leadership over the last 20 years, we're seeing where has that,
years.
Or 25
yeah.
years, where has that gotten us now? And now you're seeing him take that, the action to the region, to the Pacific area, visiting these countries saying, okay, hey, this unity has to come together. Let's make sure we're all on the same page, because they're all recognizing the threat of North Korea.
Talk is cheap.
Yes.
It's time to take some
action
and yeah. put the pressure on. Well, listen, we want to close out this program, as we do every program, with prayer. Let's just
yes.
pray. Father God, I
yes.
just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be talking right now and sharing about these things, Lord, that are happening in the world. We lift up our president, Lord, and we just ask you to continue, Lord, to use him to restore what you want to do in America, Father. Lord, as we close out every program, Lord, we pray, dear God, end abortion, send revival, and send the third great awakening. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for watching. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years I struggled with that. You know, spending time with God in regards to you know, hearing His voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what He's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear Him clearly, and it's beautiful, and you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah, yeah, it's beautiful.
He says that, you know, His sheep will hear His voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing, and He knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life, and it's just amazing where He leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures, and there it is, and like, wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God, and alone with God,
mm-hmm.
and y'all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does yeah. God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages?
With
the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son,
uh-huh.
My 14-year-old daughter.
Right, isn't that awesome, though,
yeah.
to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear His voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org, request your plan, and it'll be sent to you immediately in your email, iabide.org.